This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And the sports fans beyond on WKAR.org. You heard a promo just a couple minutes ago that actually talked about yesterday's show. Our co-host today, Tom Crawford, and this is just like old times, back from our days at the Ticket and at 1320 WILS. Tom Crawford will be joining me today, and we'll be talking about Big Ten basketball, about college football, and we're also going to be chatting with Steve Finnemore, East Lansing High coach, about high school basketball this year and a very interesting study that he is doing on fouling or defending at the end of games when you have a three-point lead, and some fascinating data he is coming up with. We also want your participation today. If you have not already called in to try to register for the tickets to the Michigan-Michigan State game Tuesday night, you can do that. The ticket line, 884-4783. We're going to give those tickets away toward the end of the hour. You can also call in your questions for me or for Tom. And the number, 877-WKAR-870-355-WKAR. Good afternoon, Tom, just like old times.
Well, it is, Jack. Let's see, where do we leave Rich Rod, second year as head coach at Michigan? You want to pick up there? No, I don't think so.
New producer, you got Alex in here instead of the 38 that we had at various stations.
Flavor of the day, right?
But other than that, and there are some things new. We've got Michigan and Michigan State probably in situations a little bit unusual.
Well, it was
Michigan State winning a bowl game, and here's Michigan in basketball.
In basketball. I mean, remember we started the show in 2002, the Tommy Emeker era,
right,
coming off the Ellerbe days, and I was just, would it be nice to just be in the NCAA selection show and be relevant, and they've certainly been doing a great turnaround under John Beilein, NCAA tournament the last 2 years, and then vying for the title this year against Michigan State, which I think are the top two contenders in my mind.
Not Indiana.
I just, you saw the game last, although you turned it off, Jack, right?
I did.
And
I
actually gave you the news of what
you
happened.
You did. I couldn't believe it. And my phone was blowing up, and I wasn't paying attention to it. I was working on something for the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame.
You were a working man. And Tyler Griffey with that layup that I think I could have made, maybe. I probably would have choked. But game winner, and Hoosiers go home. They can't win it at that Assembly Hall.
Right. You have to pick your Assembly Hall. Actually, it was 41-29, and I said, okay, I think I know where this is going. And I started to flip around the dial, and I came back to the game, watched a little bit more, and I think about 3.5 minutes to go, Indiana was up 9.
Right.
And I said, see ya.
That's when you got that text from me about the Illini, flying Illini, booking their one-way ticket to the NIT.
Right.
So, I mean, you talk about somebody who had egg on his face after that game.
But what an amazing finish, and Tom Crane seemed to be in a state of shock afterward. Bizarre play at the end of the game, very well executed, well designed.
Patience by Brandon Paul on the inbound.
Yeah, he had to hold that thing as long as he possibly could and let the other action occur, and there was Tyler Griffey all alone under the basket.
Right, and they said if he had dunked it, the buzzer might have gone off. So
right,
he took the discipline to lay it off the glass like John Wooden would have appreciated.
Right, exactly. And now you have Illinois. That's got to be a season saver for them after the stretch they've had. They've had some great wins.
Well, their body of work in the non-conference is great. It's just the problem is when they got in the Big Ten, and it's been a tailspin. But they got some tough assignments ahead.
Yeah.
You know, 8-10, though, in conference play, I think that'll be like the old ACC days, Jack, where that'll get you in even if you're 2 under .500 in conference play.
What about 7-11 if you have a lot of big wins? Would that do
Virginia did that one time. Remember that? Years ago.
7-11.
And everybody else just threw up, up in arms about it. But if your league is that tough.
Well, that might make the Big Ten tournament particularly interesting, and it's in Chicago.
Yeah.
So it goes back to Illinois. Maybe that's Illinois' ticket.
That's their arena most of the time, although those Christmas games they've always they've lost around the holiday time. But still, that'll be interesting. But, this season, Jack, and I followed Big Ten play since 1964 when Cassie was a junior and been passionate ever since. I can never recall the quality of the teams, as deep into – as far as in the entire conference. I mean, you followed as long as me. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would think so. You see an Iowa team that nearly swept Wisconsin.
Right. Right.
Beat them in Iowa City.
Wouldn't want to play Iowa right now.
No, that's a sneaky team. So,
right.
You know, Michigan has Wisconsin coming up.
Oh, that's a root canal tomorrow at noon.
But if Michigan can get through the next two games.
Oh, yeah.
I like the chances to win out.
Yeah.
And I think Michigan's got a great chance to win both those games.
Well, you know, my perspective, you know, as a passionate Michigan fan, alumnus and everything, follower of the program, you know, I always look at things in a negative way. I don't know why that is, but, you know, what could go wrong mentality. And, you know, this is a house of hell up here at Breslin at 9 o'clock on Tuesday. I know you were at practice yesterday and you were, you know, tell our listeners what you saw. I mean, it was like a MASH unit.
I saw the MVP was Quentin Sawyer, the trainer. And it was crazy when you have that many guys. You have five guys just
couldn't even practice.
Yeah, tough. It's very tough.
Right.
And Travis Trice, he didn't know where he is.
I mean,
in terms of the noise factor and things. And
earplugs.
Trying to adjust. I don't expect him to play against Purdue. I guess I'd be very surprised if he did.
Right.
And whenever you have a thin backcourt anyway, this is a case of Brandon Kearney leaving.
Oh, that's devastating Michigan State.
Yeah, and he was a guy who was playing a lot.
Yeah.
It's not like he wasn't playing. Usually when a guy leaves in the middle of the season, he's disgruntled.
Right.
There's something has happened. And that wasn't the case. He just said, you know what? If I'm ever going to be anything in terms of pro basketball, I have to play the point.
Right.
And he wasn't going to play the point with Keith Appling and Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine and other guards that Michigan State's recruiting. And they saw him more as a wing. I imagine he could have played a little bit at the point, probably would this week. But he said, hey, I'm going to go somewhere else while I can.
Well, you know, and then Trice always represents that three-ball threat from an opposition standpoint. That
right.
Can Denzel provide that threat from the wing?
I'm not even concerned about that in terms of Michigan State's ability to handle Michigan. I always start with who can defend Trey Burke.
Right.
And there's only one guy who has a chance. I think, and that's Keith Appling.
Right.
So
that's going to be a war.
When
that's
he's
just going to be like
there,
Kraft,
you know,
and Burke.
It, yeah.
It's the same thing. It's part two.
Yeah.
And but, you know, going back to Breslin and the adrenaline flow, I mean, the whiteout, we know what it's going to be like. It's a tough place to play. They won one, you know, last or 2 years ago they won there, Michigan did.
That was a game that really turned it around for Michigan.
It really is. I mean, that was the defining moment as far as the Beeline era. You know, they beat Michigan State, I think, was 25th at the time. And
people were disgruntled with Beeline.
Oh,
they were
big
time. I'm to get rid of this guy.
I was right in the front of the line, Jack. I mean, it was a nice guy, but
you were going to Chrysler. You stopped going, right?
I stopped going after nine season ticket years of misery, you know, and being a bubble team or an NIT team or 1 year being on probation. So it's, you know, hats off to John Beilein. He's hard not to like. I think from Michigan State perspective, how could a Spartan fan not, I mean,
I like
have
John
animosity
Beilein
to John
lot.
Beilein?
Yeah, I do. Personally, I like Tommy Amaker a lot.
Of course you did.
But, I liked him personally. I knew him since he was a Duke assistant.
Right.
And I like John Beilein. I don't know him well. Can't say I do. But, but I like what I see. And, you know, you can't argue with the results the last couple of years when you see the recruiting he's done. It's a little bit like what Mark D'Antonio has done in football in terms of finding guys.
You know, very good
developing
analogy
guys.
There because it's not, you know, these guys are not, Michigan doesn't have a McDonald All-American on their team.
No, Tim Hardaway, Miami didn't want him.
Didn't want him.
Yeah. Trey Burke, Ohio State didn't want him.
Penn State, those empty seats in the end zone, I mean, that's the only reason Michigan got him.
Glenn Robinson III, Purdue didn't want him.
Right, exactly.
Nick Stauskas, University of Toronto.
I know. I mean, how many? What's the recruiting thing like up in Ontario?
But here's the odd part of this, Tom, and you think about signing day, or you just went through this in football. But it's the same thing in basketball. Remember when Russell Bird was being recruited?
Oh, yeah.
Michigan wanted him.
We had him on our show.
Michigan State wanted him, came down to Michigan State in Kentucky.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Now, you know, he has a lot of zeros.
Yeah, and I feel bad for the kid because he just seems to get beat up by the media and the fans. Mm-hmm. And he's had, you know.
Great kid.
Great kid. And
teammates voted him a captain for a lot of reasons.
Think of the injuries that he's had to overcome. And when you get a nagging injury like a stress fracture, things like that, which a lot of the team is going through right now, I mean, it lingers and it can impact from year to year.
And Tom Izzo has been beyond patient.
Yeah.
You know, there's a segment of the Izzone that wears the Angry Bird costumes, and they're just waiting for him to hit a shot.
Right.
And then there are people who go, oh, God. here he comes again, you know. But, hey, you got to pull for the kid.
Right.
And
watch him. Watch, just my luck, he'll come out of it. He'll come out and have his big-time game on Tuesday night. But, you know, got to get – before you get to Tuesday night,
I mean, Michigan State's got a tough challenge
out at Mackey Arena.
I think it's every bit as likely Michigan State will lose to Purdue as Michigan losing to Wisconsin.
Right.
And Michigan State's had pretty good success with Purdue, win this year. But Michigan State has won a lot of games, Tom, that haven't been pretty.
Right.
And
the grind,
know,
as Tom Izzo calls it.
Yeah, they just do enough. I was going to say they've been lucky and unlucky. They've been lucky in that they play Iowa without Marble. They play Nebraska without Ubell.
Right.
They play Wisconsin without Frank Kaminsky the day that Wisconsin couldn't throw it in the ocean from the boat.
Right.
But then you look at the injuries they've had, so maybe it's balancing out a little bit.
Oh, well, it's balancing out and then some. I think Michigan State's overcome a lot. And they kind of remind me, God forbid this happens, they win a national championship, again, from my perspective. But Ohio State in 2002, just in football, getting enough to get by.
Right.
And, you know, this Big Ten season, Jack, is survive and advance, the old NCAA tournament cliche.
Yeah.
And I think that this year's title is going to be more valued than any other year. It's almost like we got two for one because it's so much competition.
Jack Ebling here with my co-host, good friend Tom Crawford, and we have been on the air together since March of 2002.
Right.
It seems like no time has passed at all. But we're talking about Big Ten basketball 2013, the log jam at the top with the three-way tie, and Ohio State and Wisconsin lurking one game behind. And there are some precarious trips for a lot of these teams just ahead. I think Indiana may have really done itself in last night with a second unexpected loss. If Michigan loses at Indiana, you can say, okay, that's one you can kind of see. You lose in Columbus, that's one you can kind of see. Michigan State, somewhat similar, losing in Indiana, a game it really could have won. The same thing in Minneapolis, a game it probably could have won. But they're taking care of business at home, both those teams.
Yeah, you got to hold serve, obviously, at home. And in this, everybody's got to win all their home games. You can't, and they've already lost one in Wisconsin. But then Illinois is one of those teams you should be able to beat on the road because Team Michigan beat them by 14.
Yeah.
Wisconsin won at Illinois. Northwestern won big at Illinois.
Right.
So I think, you know, that's where Indiana is. Everybody's had a question mark over them. When they get on the road, how are they going to react?
Right.
And they didn't react too well last night with that 12-point lead with 6-7 minutes to go.
877-WKAR 870 or 355-WKAR. The numbers to call. Let's go out to the phones. And Mark from East Lansing, you're with us.
How you guys doing?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark. How you been, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. Purdue can't beat Michigan State, man. They can't score. I'd be shocked if Michigan State lost that game.
Now, wait a minute. Were you in Chrysler Center when Purdue led Michigan by one point in the second
half.
That
was a half.
Yeah,
it was about 15 minutes to go. I think it was 40-39 Purdue, right?
Yeah.
When they're throwing in the three ball.
Yeah.
Well, see, Michigan State does one thing well every game, which is defend.
That's true.
And Michigan is more mercurial in that it's sometimes it's going to shoot well, sometimes it's not going to shoot well. But defense will win that game for them tomorrow. Purdue can't score. They got one guy. I am not concerned about Bird going off on Michigan State. Let's just put it that way. I am not even remotely concerned about that. So
you don't think it'll be the Battle of the Birds?
Yeah, well, no. So, I can't compare the two. Michigan may lose to Wisconsin. They're tough at home.
Well, you know, Mark, your point is valid on Michigan State. First of all, Jack, best defensive team in the conference. You can't argue with that. I think Michigan State.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do. And the thing about Michigan is they have these lapses where they don't defend the perimeter. Or these lapses where they don't have an interior post play defense. And against Purdue in that first half, Mark, you recall that. I mean, Bird was wide open.
Yeah.
The other Bird.
Then they switch right away on him. And all you had to do was just get up on him and challenge the shot. And
right.
Stoppus was on him in the first half. Nick played no defense.
Right. Well, he's not going to drive by you and threaten you that way. You just have to play the perimeter. Right.
Yeah, you do. You do. So he's an easy check for somebody that's got any kind of check in him. Urban Meyer, you hear about his comments?
Yeah, what, he's going to educate the Big Ten coaches on how to recruit now?
Yeah, he's disappointed. He's disappointed that they don't do a better job recruiting. I don't know.
What does that mean, Mark?
I think what it means is, one, we aren't getting the best players in the conference. And if you ask me, what does it mean that he's encouraged to speak on it, is that he realizes the importance of the profile of the conference.
Well, maybe, and if every other school could have two coaching staffs, one to handle the bowl game and one to go out and recruit, they do a little better.
Many hands make small labor in that situation.
Perhaps, but if you go back and you see how many times the SEC team has made it to the conference, to the national championship game after losing a game, then you know the importance of the reputation that the conference has. And just because, so one day he may see himself in that situation where he's got one loss at Ohio State, and he'd like to be able to make it to the national championship game, but there ain't no way.
Right. He sees the high tides raises all ships.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's confident enough in his ability to know that I'm not particularly concerned about folks being more competitive against me by virtue of me speaking on this. I'm still going to be who I am, and I'm still going to whoop most of you guys' butts anyway, but I would sure like to be whooping up on somebody as opposed to just running over people. So give me a challenge. But yeah, man, I'm intrigued by what he's saying.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real chance that Ohio State, I'm still waiting to see what Brady's going to do. I still don't have a good feel for Brady Hoke. He's recruited well, but I gotta still get a better feel for his X and O, especially on offense. But Meyer's legitimate. He's recruiting well. He's got a history of being successful in the toughest conference in the country, so he's going to be there all the time. The other folks, I just don't know, and maybe you guys can speak to it, but I just don't know if you can afford to recruit the way, say, a D'Antonio is recruited.
Right.
They've been marvelously successful, but I don't know if you're going to be able to recruit that well and beat Urban Meyer.
Well, I think you have to recruit the way you can recruit. And for a lot of schools to say, hey, we're going to go after the five-star players, you're just spinning your wheels
in the snow
out here.
Does Michigan State go after the targets that Michigan Ohio State have?
They go after the players that they think they have a legitimate chance to get.
So they don't even try is what you're saying.
No, they go after them, they don't get them.
Yeah, they would go after every good player in the state of Michigan, at least initially, but they're going to be thrown out of that equation in some cases.
So they're thrown out early, and so they just go hang out with...
They said, hey, you know what? We target the guys we think are good, and it isn't like here's the misconception. People think there are 42 good football players in the United States. You know how many good football players were recruited this week? Thousands.
Oh, absolutely.
Thousands.
And every spin doctoring.
And we don't know what's going to happen in 3-4 years.
Right.
Now, obviously, some have a greater skill set. You'd rather be 6'7" on the offensive line than 6'1". But you don't know exactly what's going to happen, so... You know, you take the guys that you can get, do the best job you can with them. Michigan State has done pretty well in terms of getting top players in the state of Michigan the last few years, number one ranked guys on the list, and have gotten a lot of four-star guys, actually more than when they won the share of the Big Ten championship and had a lot of two-stars. Le'Veon Bell, Kirk Cousins,
Greg Jones.
Well,
we know Nebraska and Wisconsin have done it that way, too.
Look at Wisconsin. Mark, you know this. They've been to 6 Rose Bowls in the last 20 years and have never had a top 30 recruiting class.
I know. They're great something going on there. I don't know if it's relatively great as among – I don't think the conference has been particularly tough. Penn State's been down.
Right.
Michigan's been down. But I'm curious. You mentioned something. And Northwestern, too. But Northwestern came real close last year to having an unbelievable year with no stars on their team. And so that speaks to coaching and whatever else. But I, for the life of me, and I'm totally honest, I do not understand why, with everything that Michigan State's got going for them as a institution, facility-wise, why they can't recruit with Michigan and Michigan State.
And Jack, guys, I've said the same thing to you for 10 years now, the same thing.
Well, there's been 10 coaches that hasn't happened, and I don't think they've all been horrible coaches. But now we know, Tom, that if Michigan State hires Mark as recruiting coordinator, things will improve. There'll be brighter days.
At least a quality control coach.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much for the call. Yeah. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Mark.
All right. We're going to be back in just a moment. We'll be talking with Steve Finnemore, a basketball coach at East Lansing High School, who is doing a very interesting study on fouling or defending late in the game. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870.
You can't unlock your phone. Facebook tells everyone your dinner plans. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday to answer the question, just how much of your digital life do you control? Plus, is a hydrogen-fueled car in your future? And a new look at the demise of the dinosaurs. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
Four partly sunny skies the rest of this afternoon with highs in the upper 20s. Mostly clear, very cold tonight, lows between 0 and 5 above. Sunny on Saturday, highs in the upper 20s. And then for Sunday, mostly cloudy skies. There is a chance of rain in the afternoon. And we'll see high temperatures in the upper 30s. I'm Kevin Lavery.
Welcome back to News Talk 870 Sports. Jack Ebling here with my co-host Tom Crawford. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Steve Finnemore, head basketball coach at East Lansing High School. And he's doing a very interesting study, Tom, something that I have long advocated, and that is fouling when you're up 3 points late in the game. And it just makes perfect sense to me. If you do the math and you look at what happens, and he's charting it, how often teams hit a tying three to send a game into overtime.
Yeah, and I can recall all the times on our shows that you've brought that issue up. I guess the fear that I would have, you know, coaching, defending, is, you know, when that guy throws the three ball, you know, if you foul and he throws the three ball up, and then you could lose the game. I think that fear maybe looms a lot of times as far as intentionally fouling.
Yeah, I think nobody wants to be the coach who's on television when it backfires.
Right.
So everyone says, hey, you know, I'm just going to do something here and play defense. And some coaches will tell you that that's the mindset they want to send. They want to be sure their players know that they're going to go out there and play tough defense. And that's the way that they have played for 39 minutes and 45 seconds. They're going to play that way the last 15 seconds.
And Indiana should have fouled last night defending the two.
Right, right. Well, you know, actually, we got Judd Heathcote to say that it's actually good logic to foul when you're up two, not up three,
right,
late in the game. Because if you have a 70% shooter at the line, there's a 49% chance he's going to make both of them. So less than 50% chance he's going to tie the game at the line.
Right.
And even if he does, let's say you foul with 8 seconds, 10 seconds to go, you can't lose on a three, and you have the last shot.
There you go.
The worst you can do is go into overtime.
Right.
Because if they're down one, they're not going to deliberately miss and try to get a rebound. So, all right, let's go out to our guest line. I'm very happy to welcome in East Lansing High basketball coach Steve Finnemore. Big game tonight, hosting the Holt Rams. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to hear you two back together talking sports because this area really, really needs some good sports talk radio.
Well, we'll try to give him another.
Did you pay Finnemore or did I, Jack?
I think he got both of our checks. We're going to try to provide that for the next 31 minutes, and who knows what will happen after that. But, Steve, I want to talk a little bit about the game tonight. First thing is, there is going to be a game at East Lansing tonight, right?
Yes, there is, Jack. The game is on for 6 o'clock at East Lansing. The girls will follow at 7:30, and should be a decent crowd because, Jack, in the past on snow days, we've had some pretty good crowds out there.
Well, we only had 3 inches. I mean, I don't know where this new standard of closing schools is, Steve. I mean, it used to take 8 to 10 inches to close schools. 3 inches.
No, I know it, Tom. I don't know what goes into the decision early in the morning, but I do know one thing. I have one happy teenage daughter upstairs right now.
Steve, I want to put you on the spot here. CAAC Blue Division, who's the best team in that league this year?
I'd have to say my opponent tonight, the Holt Rams.
I'm paying them a lot of respect, and I think that's well-deserved. I think I've seen just about every team in the league now. And I would say Holt is probably... Well,
and Holt by a nudge, don't you think, guys?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I mean, this has got to be the most balanced CAAC Blue that I can ever recall. Yeah. I don't think it's the highest caliber of talent, conference-wide, perhaps, as in the past. Where you really
not the top-end guys.
Top-end, the D1 guys, yeah. Like LaDante and guys like that.
Right.
But still, I mean, it's one of the most competitive ones. And EL, Steve, you brought them. I thought you guys were cooked a few weeks ago. All of a sudden, you're starting to win basketball games.
Yeah, I would agree, guys. I think, Jack, you mentioned this last night to me. I think we've been spoiled here in the mid-Michigan area over the years after, you know, the last 12 or 15 years with guys like Marcus Taylor, Courtney Scott, you know, Cole Darling, LaDante, Frederick Edmond, guys like that.
Yeah.
So it goes in cycles. And the one thing that separates Holt, I think, from everyone else is their depth and obviously their coaching. I think Matt Edsall, 2 years ago, he had a few freshmen and a couple of sophomores in there, and they were taking their lumps, but Matt's grinded it out, and, you know, guys like Colin Jones and Donquell Jackson are seniors. Old Donquell's a junior, but Colin's a senior, and their experience is really showing right now.
You have to turn the page at any program in any league, and they had some institutions, Johnny Jones at Everett, Dan Stoltz at Okemos. They leave, and you get Desmond Ferguson coming in at Everett and Jeff Wanch at Okemos. What about the differences in those programs and the job those guys are doing, Steve?
I think the one thing, and obviously it's common sense, they've brought a different voice and a different style of play to their program. You know, Jeff, obviously he won a state championship at Bath, and I don't care what level you're at, what gender, boy or girl, if you win a championship, you're doing something special. And Desmond kind of ignited a spark there. He got the kids excited. I want to tell you something about Desmond Ferguson. I watched him before our game during warmups. He was out there with his team, and he was passing the ball to them and going through drills with them. This was 20 minutes before the game. And to me, that tells a lot about a coach when he's out there with some hands-on. So, Jack, the one thing that will never change with our conference, players may come and go, guys go Division One, guys go Division Two, but the solid coaching will always be there. So that's why all these games are competitive.
Steve, I want to talk a little bit about your team. I mean, it's not, you don't have a lot of height on. I mean, Javon Haynes is kind of your leader, obviously. Great athlete, great football player, going on to play at Ferris State. Just committed there. But kind of describe some of your kids and who have been the guys delivering and your style of play and how that's changed perhaps over the last 2 years.
Well, we've kind of slowed it down a little bit. We've kind of cut down on our three-point attempts. Javon's, I call him an undersized warrior. He's 6'2", and any other program, he'd probably be playing guard or shooting forward. I have him playing the five for us. He averages 9 rebounds and 18 points per game. He's done everything I've asked. I have a senior in Ahmad Newsom who's been with me for 3 years. He's kind of like our spark. And then I have a young man who everyone's familiar with, their family. Our point guard's name is Jack Fossum.
Mm-hmm.
And he never even practiced with us before the season. He just came on the scene early December, and I threw him right into the fire. And Jack's our point guard. He runs the show for us, and he's a very good defender.
He has very good genes.
Yeah,
I think.
He's a crafty little athlete. Great football player, too.
Absolutely. Right. I saw his dad, Bob, and his grandma, Mary, at your game at Okemos. And he had a big play there. He had a swipe and three-point play down the stretch. It really made a big difference in that win.
But the thing about Jack is he knows how to play the game. I love his demeanor. He never gets upset. He moves on to the next play. And I'm telling you right now, that's indication of what kind of family he comes from. You know, Bob, who was a pretty good player in his time, and obviously his dad was an assistant coach at MSU. When you have kids, Jack and Tom, that have family structure, that understands the team concept, it makes it, you know, enjoyable to coach the young man.
Our guest, Steve Finnemore, head basketball coach at East Lansing High School, and he is the architect of a very interesting study, Tom, something I have long been a proponent of, and this is fouling when you're up 3 points late in the game. Steve, can you talk a little bit about why you're doing this and what you found?
Well, I tell you what, this is a tremendous coincidence because last season in two different games, Jack and Tom, against the Holt Rams, who were playing tonight, obviously, the same player, Colin Jones, in both of these games hit game-tying three-point shots against me once to send it into overtime. And luckily, the second time he did it, we had 2 seconds on the clock. We raced the ball up the court, and Tracy Edmond got fouled. He made one of two free throws. We won the game. Jack, I've talked to you in the past about this. I've had some friends talk to me about it. I said last year at the end of the year during the NCAA tournament, I started charting all the situations where a team was up by three on defense less than 7 seconds. What are they doing? This season, I decided from day one, October 31st, at the high school, college, and pro level, I track every situation that I can get my hands on. And so far, I'm up to 484 situations, Jack.
Hmm. Oh, my word. I mean, I knew there were a lot. I mean, because every time you look at even the televised game, the scenario is just they happen every night.
And what are the percentages? What have you found?
Well, Jack, at the collegiate level where the most situations occur, obviously, because there's so many teams, in 347 situations, Jack, 27 teams have fouled in that situation, mm-hmm. and 26 of those teams have come away with the win. The only team that lost was Kent State. And by the way, there was a fluke because there was a lane violation on Valparaiso. The kid jumped in the lane too fast. He tipped the offensive rebound in, but the refs missed it. So technically, Jack, it should be 27 out of 27 in college basketball when you foul.
Even allowing for the missed call on that, more than 96% of the time, if you have fouled, you have been successful in winning the game. It just requires so many things having to happen.
Hey, Steve, I think you need to be a featured speaker at the NABC, maybe a session on
Absolutely.
That. Absolutely. Talk to the coach and educate the coaches, and maybe there'll be a behavior change.
Well, you know what, guys? I hear this a lot, especially from the old school coaches. They're not big into numbers and probabilities and things of that nature. They rely on their defense. Like our guy here in our backyard, Coach Izzo, this year alone, he's been in this situation four times this season, mm-hmm. and he's defended all four times, and they've come up with the stops. We like to say, a buddy of mine and I, when a team plays defense and the offensive team misses a three, we like to say, hey, you were fortunate.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Right,
and
right.
Tom Izzo knows how that works because I remember a game against Gonzaga when Maurice Egger hit the tying three and
yep.
was not fouled by Mark Few. Certainly the most famous example was the national championship game with Memphis
yep.
and John
right.
Calipari not fouling up three against Kansas. Mario Chalmers hits the shot. Kansas
shot.
Goes on to win
Top
in overtime.
Key. Right.
But you get good looks a lot of the time, and I'm actually surprised, Steve, that the percentage isn't a little bit higher of teams tying. I had heard that it was close to 25%. This year it's down. It's probably around 20%, right?
It really is, Jack, overall. But I'll tell you this. Here's a startling stat. In high school basketball, and most of these games I get reported to me from friends around the country and around the state, Jack, I have 100 situations so far. 39% of the teams on offense make a game-tying three in that late situation.
Steve, I really respect what you're doing here. I hope that I'm sure that pro teams will look at this a little bit differently than college teams, and maybe you'll be able to present your data to a specific organization. But I also think there are some other things that you see that just make common sense in basketball.
Well, shell your defense. Just bring your defense out of the guard to stripe. Why don't you just do that?
Play the line. That would
yeah.
help. Yeah. Who cares if they get a layup?
Well, it's funny. Last night, Greg Campy at Oakland University, who I think is one of the is a fabulous coach down there at Oakland,
mm-hmm.
they were in the foul at defense situation, and our guy, Drew Valentine, he fouled a North Dakota State University player with 2 seconds left. They fouled intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
North Dakota State went to the line, missed both free throws, Oakland rebounds, game over, Oakland wins.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's some other situations. Tom, we see when a team has fouls to give at the end of the
right,
game.
Right, right.
Michigan State did that very well against Ohio State. And then the other night, that did not happen. And they allow a three to Minnesota
right
before
the half. Yeah.
And they only had four team fouls.
I think when you have fouls to give, and we've done it before at East Lansing. I did it last year. When you have fouls to give in the first half, second half, I don't know why teams don't use them up because I've been doing that for a long time.
The other thing that drives me nuts watching college basketball, and you see it in 80% of the games, I'm not pointing to any particular program, you never see this happen in the NBA. Is if a team gets the ball with 50 seconds, a minute
yep.
to go, and they wind up shooting with 30 seconds left, they never get the ball back.
They don't do the
right.
two-for-one bit.
NBA,
right.
that is automatic.
Right.
If you get the ball with less than a minute to go, you know you're going to get one more possession
right.
than
you,
the opponent.
You cut the clock up, and you know what you're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Hey, did you guys know if by the end of this weekend, Monday morning, we can have a five-way tie in the Big Ten Men's Basketball Conference?
Yeah, how about that? Explain exactly how that happens. Wisconsin has to beat Michigan, right?
Right. Ohio State has to beat Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Which could happen.
Purdue has to beat Michigan State.
Could
not
all happen.
Not going to happen.
You know, Tom is really working up his worst-case scenario mindset here.
Because this is all about mental preparation.
You're just preparing for Tuesday night so you won't be despondent.
Hey, Tommy, I gotta set you straight on Illinois, man. I'm telling you now, they've had last night was their fourth big win of the year. They beat Ohio State,
yep.
They beat Gonzaga, and they also beat Butler this year.
So how did they lose to Northwestern at home?
You know what, Jack? I can't explain losses. I can only talk about wins.
I'll tell you why they lose, because they depend on the three ball. And you always can tell with Illinois how they're shooting right from the start of the game. And if they get behind, typically, unlike last night, they usually fold their tent.
Hey, Tommy, most teams, though, with good guard play, you know, they have Brandon Paul and DJ and Richardson.
Yeah.
They have good guard play. They're going to be in a lot of games.
Hey, Steve, you didn't call to enter the ticket drawing, did you? For these tickets Tuesday night?
I've never won anything.
Well, let's see if you can win one tonight. I think Tom and I are going to stop out and see the Holt Rams and the East Lansing Trojans at ELHS. 6 o'clock tip, and then the girls' game after that. East Lansing has an outstanding girls' team, too, right?
Oh, yes, they demolish everybody they play.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you tonight. Good luck.
Hey, you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. And have a lot of respect for what the Holt Rams have done to Matt Essel. Great job with that program.
That's a great program out there. I mean, they're good. And I'm not dogging the caliber of this year's play.
I hear exactly what you're saying. You're right.
Just from witnessing it, let's just call it more balance.
It's an adjustment after what we're used to seeing.
Yeah, and Cha-Cha leaving, maybe that might have had something to do with it too.
We have been able to look around a little bit spoiled. Almost every school has had a run where they've been a state championship contender. A lot of them have played in the Final Four in Breslin. Hard to see that this year, especially in the blue division.
I see a regional exit. Don't you see that one of those years, maybe? I don't see
What about some of the other schools? Anyone else in the area?
Well, I mean,
Catholic Central.
Lansing Catholic's always, you know, who's got a good team is Corunna.
Yeah.
You know, they beat Lansing Catholic.
True.
I mean, there's some programs that are kind of coming out of that you haven't witnessed recently as far as winning goes.
Well, we'll get excited for that too, and this might be a good night to actually see some high school basketball if you can get your dog sled cranked up.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem like a winter storm to me. I think that, you know, somebody wants a day off at all these superintendent decisions. That's my thinking of it. My wife was really happy as a teacher at East Lansing Public Schools.
Yeah, maybe this is just a teacher thing, you know. They're all out there doing snow dances at about 3 in the morning trying to be sure that they can
get But as long as you know, in Lansing, if you had a snow day, they used to have a rule. You couldn't have a game that night. But East Lansing having a game tonight, and I'm glad. I'm going to go over there and see the Trojans tonight, and we'll hang out there and see our buds from EL.
884-4783, 884-4783, the number to call if you want to register for those Michigan State tickets. We've been taking registrations for a couple of days now, and someone's going to be very lucky in about 15 minutes. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on WKAR AM 870.
Come on in the house. I'll show you where you're sleeping.
Daddy, you got to stop being so mean.
I wish I had been mean to your mama, then I wouldn't be sitting here looking at you right now.
That's Tyler Perry doing three different characters in Madea's family reunion. On the next Fresh Air, Perry talks about the stories he tells and how they connect to his own life. Join us.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
Good afternoon. For the rest of the day today, partly sunny skies, highs in the upper 20s. Mostly clear tonight and cold, a low between 0 and 5 above. Sunny on Saturday with highs in the upper 20s, then a chance of rain in the afternoon on Sunday. The clouds move in, mostly cloudy, and highs in the upper 30s. This is Kevin Lavery.
Jack Ebling here with my co-host today, Tom Crawford. And we've been doing this for 11 years, various forms.
Well, on and off.
Yeah,
and
we had a little
5-year
break there.
Duration. I
took a break so you could stand me again.
And 2 years. 2-year stint on a weekday basis and then the weekend over at 1320. And
it's our third station and our 38th producer.
Right. And but we never depart from it for very long.
Right, exactly.
We seem to. And,
there are some people who probably wish we would depart from it.
And I'll tell you what, this basketball season is, it's great to get back in the studio with you, Jack, because there's a lot to cover, that's for sure.
A lot to talk about, and if you'd like to do that, in our final 15 minutes, the number 877-WKAR-870 or 355-WKAR. Well, here's a familiar voice. Let's bring in Jerry from Hazlitt. Hello, Jer.
Good afternoon, guys. I figured as long as I was listening to a couple of have-beens, I'd call in and complete the trifecta.
We were going to save you for last.
We got the band back together here, Jerry.
And then hope the show went off early.
I'm a broken-down old warhorse, but I am available for co-host duty. So, you know, just to let you know.
We'll let you know, Jer.
Tom, the cliche ball I see is still alive and well. Many hands make small labor.
There you go, baby.
You know, one of the highlights of all the shows we did was Jerry would always listen, and toward the end of the show, he would call with a Crawfordism.
Crawfordisms. Yeah. You got to come up with something. I've been pretty concerned. I've been playing it pretty much between the tackles.
Well, Tom, at least I recognize the sign.
There you go.
You're still there. I think the gene pool is still active in you because I can listen and almost visualize the hedging before the big game.
Yeah.
As someone who's tried that trick myself, Tom, it's not going to work.
Is it called sandbagging? Is that another term for it? What's going to happen on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, Jerry?
I'm a big Michigan State guy, but unless they really pound Michigan on the boards, I like the Wolverines. I like what Beilein's done. I like their chemistry.
Yeah.
I do think they have gaps where they just not only miss shots, every three-point shooting team does that, but they don't quite hit the backboards as much as they...
Absolutely, defensive gaps. And that's where the Payne-Nicks duo, as far as putbacks...
Yeah, at Michigan State, I think games in the 50s or even low 60s, I like State's chance. If it goes any higher, I like Michigan.
Listen to Tom Crawford preparing for the worst-case scenario here. You know, Jerry, I think Crawford has more hedges than the Georgia Bulldogs.
That's been my approach for five decades, Jerry.
Tom, really, when are you actually going to know that it's Armageddon? Nothing changed.
Armageddon comes about every 2 weeks for Tom. So
if Michigan's up by 34 with about 2 minutes to go, I'll open a Diet Coke and celebrate.
Miami was on
really,
Duke, right?
Listen, I always thought you had brains, but I never figured you forgot. But don't worry about it.
I'm gutless when it comes to being a Michigan basketball fan.
All right, Jared, thanks so much. See you
thanks,
soon.
Guys.
All right. Let's go back out to the phones, and how about line three? Ray, you're with us.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Ray.
Good, Ray.
Hey, you know, I'm 63. I just got done jogging. I can't believe it. I want you to tell me something. For 50 years, I've been keeping up with recruiting.
Yeah.
And every year, Michigan's always got a top 5 or 10 class.
Yeah.
Even when they're losing 5, 6 games. You know, they've lost like 35 games in 6 years. But they always have a top 5 recruiting class. Do you think they're paying their players like the people in the South do?
I don't. Tom, you can speak to that. I really don't.
Nobody cheats in the Big Ten, Ray.
No,
but
you know, I've never heard that about Michigan football.
No,
I
that's true. But
that.
But you know, I got to correct you, Ray.
I know some of the people down there. I know how little integrity they have.
Oh, Ray, you're brutal, man.
I'm kidding you. I worked at Usher down there 18 years. They fired me for a blessing about my mother, then they revoked my season tickets and ran me out of town like a criminal.
Ray, you know, I may just take off for a while and you can co-host
really?
With Crawford. You do a good job in this.
I'll never root for them. They've lost 35 games, sir, since they fired me 6 years ago. In 6 years, usually they go 30 years.
Maybe so it's you. Think, you when yeah. they got rid of you, that was
it. Ray,
yeah,
but Ray.
I think God just pays people back for rudeness and common courtesy. They have none of it. David Brandon, Lloyd Karch, John Beilein, they all took my chocolates and Hales and Victor's ink pens. I'd run into them at these dinners every year for the last 4 or 5 years, and they blew me up and didn't return none of my phone calls and revoked my season tickets. They had this attorney call me 2 years ago. He told me to shut up and do exactly what I told him. I don't let anybody talk to me like that on my own phone. I hung up on him. He revoked my season tickets and ran me out of town like a criminal. Ain't that a bunch of nice people?
Wow.
David Brandon is the biggest liar I ever seen in my life.
Okay, Ray, thanks
Quite
so much.
Quite a testimony there, Ray.
We appreciate the call. Another David Brandon fan, I see.
Wow. I got to correct him on one thing. During the Rich Rod era, Michigan's recruiting class was not top 10. I'll tell
no,
you that.
No, it wasn't.
It was not. It slipped.
It slipped, and it was around, 15 to 20?
15 to 20.
Yeah.
Okay? Still, which is unacceptable.
20 spots higher than Wisconsin,
it's
but unacceptable for Michigan.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Top the leaders five. And best, right?
Right. Top five to top eight. I don't want the double digits.
It's probably unacceptable that Michigan has had 4 seasons in the last 5 years, including this one, where they lost 5 games or more.
Right. Right.
That'll be unacceptable.
Yeah. Next year, I think there's a lot of pressure on Michigan.
Do you?
Oh, absolutely. When you're shelling out $1,800 for licensing fees and football tickets, like I am, and you don't deliver wins, and they got a schedule that they should, there's some tough games in there, but they should win 9 or 10 games with the talent coming back, especially with, Luan back there at right tackle. Come on, they just landed finally a power back.
Right. So reminds you a little bit of Anthony
Derek
Thomas.
Green, yeah, Derek Green is going to be that 220-pound back that's been missing. And don't say Kevin Grady was that guy because he wasn't that guy. Mm-hmm. But the Anthony Thomas, Tyrone Wheatley type.
He was 320-pound back. That's the difference.
Yeah, but Ray's got a bone to pick there. But everybody's got their own viewpoints of their respective school, can have bad experiences, and then it colors everything.
Absolutely. All right, let's go back to the phones, and how about line two? And this would be Flat Gut. Hello, Flat.
Hi, Jack. Hey, Tom.
FG, how you doing, buddy?
Good, except I'm still haven't gotten that invitation to the Crawford Indoor Arena.
Oh, yeah, it's coming. It'll be there.
I haven't gotten one either.
I almost hung up after Ray. I mean, how could you follow that?
Oh, my word.
Say, I did have a question for you. I know you're big on uniforms, and I just wanted to get your opinion, and I need to know before I call in and see about getting those tickets for Tuesday night.
Yeah, you better hurry. You got about 8 minutes.
If Michigan's going to be wearing those urine yellow shoes again.
The banana peels?
Oh, my word. That was a little, everybody's doing that kind of stuff,
yeah.
I mean,
what do you think, though, Tom?
Well, I mean, it was, I like the old blue, uniforms from the 60s that Craig Dill and Kazzy Russell and Oliver Darden wore. You know, I'm a traditionalist, but I know kids, have different values and
they look standards. Like human legal pads. It looks like what you're drawing on now running
and
around out there.
It's fed by Adidas and Nike and everybody. And everybody, Ohio State had a flavor of the night, too.
Sure.
Michigan State did when they played down at IU.
Right, exactly.
Great to hear you guys both on the radio again. Thanks.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice.
Appreciate it. Bye. I think a lot of people are looking forward to this game Tuesday, and they better not sleep on Wisconsin and Purdue, or these teams could both come back not tied for the Big Ten lead.
Well, I think it's the first of possibly three bouts this year between Michigan State and Michigan, maybe even four.
Wow.
I mean, think about it.
Has Michigan ever played a team four times in 1 year?
Not that I can recall. Illinois, I mean, they beat them three times. They finally won the third time
in
1989. Indiana.
Lost to them three times.
Right. Yeah, 76 in Philadelphia. But, this—
Michigan State beat Wisconsin four times.
That's true. And they were brutal to watch, every one of them. Oh, my God.
Set basketball back 20
years.
Yeah,
but you know what?
I hate to hear that, but it's true.
We've talked about this. Maybe, share this with our listeners. What would it be like in this state? Michigan plays Michigan State. Now, Michigan State does their part of the bargain, gets healthy.
Right.
Michigan's got to do well in the tournament, which they haven't done the last couple of years.
Right.
Penetrate and get into that Sweet 16. What if they played in the Elite Eight, which they could? That would be the first time they would actually play, potentially, if you're in the same conference.
But they're going to try to put the top four teams in different regions.
Right.
So what happened if they played in the national semifinal?
What if they played in the semifinal? What if they played in the title game?
Oh,
I guarantee you, the anxiety medication, it'd be a run on that. I mean, it would be so geeked. It would be unbelievable around here.
The cardiac care units at Sparrow and McLaren would be on full alert. I'll tell you that.
Right. But it would be awesome. And my question is, what would Michigan State or Michigan fans take a title game if they could wish it right to that final, that Monday night in April?
Yeah.
Playing Michigan, the rival, and that would they be willing to take it for fear of what if they lost, the magnitude of the loss?
Yeah, but you're halfway to a national championship.
I know. Of course I know the answer, but I mean, that would be something.
All right, if you want to try to win these tickets, you've got about 3 minutes left to get in the drawing. 884-4783. Let's go out to Dave in Arizona. Dave, if you win these tickets, are you coming back for the game Tuesday?
No, I will not be. I'll be enjoying it on television.
You'll be selling them for big money, I know you.
Good to hear from you.
Let me say this. First of all, I can remember one other time other than Michigan State, Wisconsin, when two teams played each other four times, and that was LSU and Kentucky, and Dale Brown was coaching LSU. Kentucky won the first three matches. They were number one, or at least the number one seed. LSU was a number 11 seed, mm-hmm. and they upset Kentucky in the regional final to go to the Final Four.
That's right.
I'm surprised Duke and Carolina Did they never had that happen? It seems like that would have been.
They've never played in the NCAA tournament.
Never played in the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
No.
That's wild. I'm surprised that hasn't happened.
By the way, I told somebody yesterday that Illinois had zero chance of beating Indiana, but I was sure happy to be wrong. Phenomenal last play of the game.
It was unbelievable.
Hey, Dave, I was just thinking about the Big East in 1985.
There
now,
you
those
go.
Teams would have played four times,
when they
right?
had three of them in the Final Four.
Because you had Villanova beating Georgetown. Now, did they play in the Big East tournament? Because they would have played twice during the regular season.
I don't think Villanova and Georgetown played in the Big East tournament. So I don't.
St. John's was in that
times.
Mix too.
Right.
So.
It's possible that Georgetown and St. John's played four times because they played in the national semifinals.
Right.
And they might have also played in the Big East tournament. So that could have been another case where they played four times.
Right.
But you know, I've been thinking more likelihood of Michigan and Indiana maybe meeting four times, but who knows? I am pretty optimistic, though. I've already purchased hotel reservations for Atlanta on the weekend of the 6th and 8th of April. And here's a little tidbit. You realize the national title game is being played in Atlanta on April 8th, the 39th anniversary of Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's record.
Ooh,
all the way in Atlanta.
1975.
How about that?
On Monday Night 74. Baseball. And what was it? 74. Yep, 74 on Monday Night Baseball, and it was on NBC.
Yep, absolutely. I watched it, and I am feeling pretty good about Michigan beating Wisconsin because Wisconsin has a habit of scoring between 47 and 49 points. And
Michigan will get that on three balls.
Yeah, there you go. I think Michigan can handle that, which means, if I'm right, that you guys in East Lansing will have the honor of a visit from the number one team in America next Tuesday night.
How about that? Michigan State has beaten a number one team three times. They'd have a chance to make it number four. Thanks so much for the call, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Appreciate it. All right, very quickly, we have about a minute left. Let's go out to line two. Mr. Tate. Hello, mister.
Hey, how you guys doing? Wonderful show. I've been listening so far. I promise I won't be as long-winded as yesterday, but I will say that I'm excited about the first week of April myself. And not to mention, I think it'll be a very good game coming in on Tuesday. I believe we beat Purdue. I believe Wisconsin goes down at Madison to Michigan. And when's the last time we've seen both teams ranked in the top 10 to play each other?
It's never happened. I don't believe.
I keep on listening, but I'm really excited about that.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate the call.
I don't think it's happened. Has it happened?
I don't believe so.
Because one team's been up, the other's been down, pretty much.
All right. We have our ticket giveaway, and Alex, who's the winner? Who's the lucky person for Tuesday night? All right, there you have it. Somebody very, very happy about Breslin Center at 9 p.m. tip. So that just gives people a little bit more time to get stoked.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even on a school night.
Wait till we get a Michigan-Michigan State night football game, which is coming. You ready for that?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen in Ann Arbor.
Might be happening in East Lansing. Mark Ellis might want to. Oh, that's going to be something
to see. November the 4th?
Yeah, that'd be wild, wouldn't it?
It will be. Can't wait.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to thank our special guest host today, Tom Crawford.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Jack. It's been fun. Went too fast, though. We're done already?
I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Just got here. But appreciate that. Appreciate all the listeners, all our old friends calling in. And I also want to thank Steve Finnemore, head basketball coach at East Lansing High School, doing some great research on foul or defend. If you get a chance tonight, you want a little entertainment, great value, you should go check out some high school basketball and, of course, a lot of college basketball all weekend. Michigan, Michigan State coming up Tuesday night at Breslin Center. Both teams have a challenge ahead, and we'll see what happens in the Big Ten race the rest of the way. Jeremy Sampson will be sitting in this chair next week, and I want to thank all of you for being with us this week. Jack Ebling saying, have a great weekend, everyone.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.